The Precinctor Raider Weekly Miniatures News Podcast is brought to you by Zero Dark Sci-Fi Skirmish Gaming in a Fallen Earth. You can find Zero Dark from Wargame Vault. Just go to wargamevault.com and search for Zero Dark.
It's Friday the 3rd of July, and this is the Precinct Omega Weekly Miniatures News Podcast. Here is the news.
The news.
I've got quite an eclectic mix of things in the news this week. Artejoal Studios, I think that's how it's pronounced, Coffin Dance Kickstarter has failed to achieve funding. Now, if you missed this disaster zone of a Kickstarter, we'll be unpacking this a bit more in the discussion. In more positive news, Wargames Atlantic has shown off new previews, including science fiction support weapons, space dwarves, of course they have, a generic cavalry horses, and giant spiders with goblin riders, and even sci-fi parts. Wargames Atlantic, of course, is an independent manufacturer of hard styrene plastic multi-part minis, and seems to be going from strength to strength. Mantic Games has a wave of new releases for several of their games, including Kings of War, Warpath, and The Walking Dead. These are scheduled out from here through to October. Details on materials haven't been released that I can find, but most of them seem to be in the resin range. Speaking of resin, Strato Minis has released a new line of 6mm hover tanks, with a sleeker, more futuristic look than their existing range of military sci-fi, with 8 new designs right out of the blocks. Eladan, a company I've not heard of before, has released a new range of 28mm animals, including deer, sheep, a heron, baby and mother bears, and even baby and parent owls, all cast in metal as far as I can tell. And that's this week's news.
The discussion.
Looking through the news this week was actually a bit of a delight. We had real companies releasing real new products and fewer Kickstarters and lines of digital-only releases. Not that those things are bad, and there were one or two of them. We've gone over this ground before. But things were definitely looking a little unbalanced in the force lately, COVID-19 notwithstanding. But better than that, it was hard to find anything to complain about. I'm very aware that this one-man podcast thing can sometimes sound a bit like one privileged lefty moaning before then saying how great he is. So let me say it. The vast majority of people in this business just want to make cool games, have fun, and make a little money doing it. Their hearts are in the right place, and so are their heads. And it's nice to see companies, big and small, putting products into the marketplace with little danger of triggering my super snowflake senses. Better still, the one product that did trigger me, that Coffin Dance Kickstarter, has failed to attract funding. So let's have a quick chat about this. Now, first up, I do have a little bit of a problem with companies creating miniatures of real people. When these people are rich actors, politicians, or other powerful figures in the public eye, so what? And obviously, if they're historical, completely legitimate. I absolutely don't mind at all. But when those people are pretty ordinary members of the public just doing a job who become famous by chance and with little say or control over that fame, my feelings are more mixed. I have no idea if Artejoal obtained permission to use the likenesses of Nana Otafria Pallbearing and Waiting Service or paid any kind of license fee to do so, but frankly, I doubt it. These guys are in the public domain, so it's not a legal thing. And there's no question that entire governments, Brazil, have made use of their image without obviously having permission or paying any fee, and the guys seem to have taken this in their funky stride, which I respect. And it also has to be said that Artejoal are very, very talented digital artists, or possibly artists, I think it's probably just one person. And they went out of their way to capture the likenesses of each of the members of the pall-bearing team with enormous care. There is no lazy copy-pasting all black guys look alike stuff going on in the art. But then they decided to riff on the designs. And as well as having them in their pall-bearing poses with a coffin, they've equipped them with a range of weapons. Now, I get this. We're wargamers, and we tend to like minis with weapons. That makes sense. Even if putting pistols and assault rifles into the hands of real-life people whose permission you almost certainly didn't have is super tasteless and impolite. But they then compounded that by giving them swords, shields, and spears. Now, the swords are a mix of what I assume to be Congolese ikakalakas and generic short swords. The shields and spears are classical Zulu weapons from South Africa. And the Nana Otafriya pall-bearing and waiting service is Ghanaian. Ghana is about as far from the Congo as London is from Istanbul, and it's about as far from KwaZulu-Natal as London is from Pakistan. So it's hard to see how putting culturally appropriated weapons into the hands of unconsulted people is anything other than massively insensitive. At another time, I would have said it was borderline racist, but given the learning I've been doing over the last few weeks, I'm going to come right out and say it's straight up racist. It says two things that I find super offensive. The first one it says is all black African people are basically the same, and that's straight up racist. Second, it says wargamers won't care or notice that I've made no attempt to contextualise these minis, which means that the creator thinks we're either ignorant or as racist as they are. And if it sounds like I'm moaning again, I'm not. I'm delighted. I am positively thrilled because this Kickstarter failed to fund. Our community does have its fair share of dicks who actively revel in this stuff. But I think most people who saw this project, even without articulating why the project made them uncomfortable, will have stayed away precisely because it made them uncomfortable. And that's the kind of instinct that leads to change. So, let's talk about Wargames Atlantic for a moment. If you've not heard of them, you need to pay more attention. They are an independent miniatures design and manufacturing company based, I think, in the United States. But they have distribution outlets in the US, UK, Australia, and China. They manufacture in China, which is pretty standard. But what makes them stand out from the crowd is their continuous and responsive relationship with the community and with their consumers. Their range of product releases has been almost entirely driven by feedback from their customers telling them what they wanted to see, and then Wargames Atlantic going and making it happen. And when you're talking about injection molded plastic and multi-part sprues, that is putting a huge amount of faith in your customers to put their money where their mouths are. So far, it seems to be paying off for Wargames Atlantic. Their ranges are pretty diverse, covering generic sci-fi, fantasy, and historical, and not being afraid of trying to fill gaps others have neglected, such as their 28mm World War I Germans. Their prices are competitive. But what makes them stand out isn't their product range or their price point, but their relationship with their consumers. We've seen independent companies try to break into the plastics market before, and it's often been a dumpster fire, or at best, a slow decline into failure. But Wargames Atlantic seems to be making a prominent success of their market entry, and doing so in a way that is pretty unique for their scale of delivery. Anyway, I wish them the best of luck. My other news items this week were a diverse bunch, mixing scales, genres, races, and species, but what united them was simply the impression they gave me of an industry pulling itself back together in the wake of COVID-19. Obviously, we all hope we've seen the back of that particular crisis. But a stronger and more empathetic industry more in step with the community of consumers that supports it would be a fantastic new step forward for all of us.
Precinct Omega.
Do you know what? This week's podcast isn't about me or Precinct Omega. I usually talk about how this impacts on my company, but this week it's really about acknowledging that we don't exist in a hobby bubble. That everyone, consumers, manufacturers, designers and retailers, we're part of an interconnected and interdependent whole. It's not a perfect interrelationship all the time, but it does feel to me like it's getting better. Technology, society, economics and imagination all come together in our hobby in a way that's surprisingly cool, and I think quite unusual, and I feel optimistic about what that means for the future. Not only for Precinct Omega, or even for the future of war games generally, but also of our whole planet. Now, optimism isn't a reason to stop fighting for things to get better, of course it's not. But it certainly makes it easier to get up and out of bed in the morning. That's all I've got to say this week. So I will see you again in 7 days. Thanks for listening.
The Precinct Omega Weekly Miniatures News Podcast is supported by our patrons on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Precinct Omega to support the Patreon developing new miniatures games and creating hobby content for Wargames miniatures enthusiasts all over the world.